Howdy, y'all.
All right. Greetings from Texas, from, Pastor Chris and Pastor Jason and Pastor Jomi in Magnolia near Houston. From myself and my amazing wife and children in Bryan, Texas, near College Station, with the biggest university in the country. And then we've got Austin. We're going there once a month, where we've got Austin Lions and some other folks that we're just having fellowship with once a month. So praise the Lord. Happy Thanksgiving. Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. In the midst of Samaria and Galilee, that's a Gentile area of the country, verse 11, and at a certain village, there met 10, you got that, 10 men that were lepers in the Isagogus that was associated with a Lishon, kind of an evil tongue, evil speaking, like Miriam and even Moses, when he spoke evil of the children of Israel at a certain point and got leprosy, said they wouldn't believe me. And here they are outside, they're unclean, they can't go in the temple, they're separated from their family. And verse 13, they lifted up their voices, said, Lord, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said, go show yourself unto the priests. Came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice, glorified God. Wow. And he fell down on his face at his feet, completely broken, completely just comes apart and giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered, saying, were there not 10 cleansed? What did I do, like a half healing to the other guy? Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? And there are not found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger. This stranger. Divine perfection meets human poverty, and the result is completely brokenness and openness in my relationship. That's this guy right here. And that's really what Thanksgiving is. Thanksgiving is when divine perfection meets human poverty. When you meet a person who's not thankful, we heard an awesome, great portion on thankfulness versus jealousy today at the lunch wrap. Log on, it's a good one. And when you meet a person who's jealous, who's not thankful, it's because he doesn't realize divine perfection, and or he doesn't realize his own poverty. The older brother is jealous. Why? The father's not that good, and I'm not that bad. He never gave me a kid. You got a calf, I didn't get a kid, you know. Saul is jealous of David. It's not like, wow, you got a victory. I was under there, you know, hearing Goliath every day. And this is amazing. It's like he hears the song from a woman, from women, and they say, Saul has killed his thousands and David his tens of thousands. And he says, what? Am I not better? Like, why have they ascribed 9,000 more to him, you know? Divine perfection meets human poverty. When I realized how impoverished I am, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. My grace is perfect for your weakness. Say, I got weakness. Meet divine perfection. And that result, the natural result of divine perfection hitting human poverty is I become open to God. I become thankful. Precious woman yesterday after the funeral of her child in the home. I'm listening. I got nothing. We got no words for that. And she says, but God is good. You can't, that's not contrived. That's not Christianese. That is the real deal. That is thankfulness, because divine perfection met us in our human poverty. And we're just open to God. We're so open to his presence, to his breath, and to his goodness. And we say thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. And let's turn that applause into giving by faith. And Father, bless these little envelopes and the checks and the cards and the coins and the cash. And thank you that your divine goodness has met our human poverty. And we're thankful. In Jesus' name, amen.
Turn in your Bibles, please, to Exodus chapter, 1 Thessalonians 5, 18. We can put up on the board, on the screen. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. Pastor Adam is here from Texas with his great family. If you're related to him, you want to stand up, Pastor? Jerry and the family, Carrie and the whole family. Wow, that's beautiful right here. Yes. And Matt and Ken, Catherine, and great, great family. We love you guys. Thank you. Good word. Very good. Thanksgiving is happening tomorrow and tonight. How many of you ladies want to do some cooking tonight? Raise your hand. All right, 3, 4, 5. I think more. Yes. Great. Yes. So agape love is thankful. So let's read Exodus 4, verse 10 and 11 and 12. Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto your servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Got it? Yep. And the Lord said, Who has made man's mouth? Now listen to this part. Who makes the dumb or the deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Does God make blind people? That's what it says, doesn't it? Am I reading it right? Disabled people, people with physical problems or deficiencies. How about our brain? What do you think? Turn to your neighbor and just say, well, your brain, I think you have a deficiency. Like you know, are you normal? All right, are you normal? God made you, okay? Seriously, did God make us? And are we the result of God? God is in heaven, and he has done whatsoever he is pleased. And that we might have an issue with that with God. Why aren't I normal? Why isn't my child or my friend or why don't they have what other people have, right? Isn't that a normal kind of question? But we're careful because we don't want to put our finger in the face of God and blame him for the life that we have. Why don't we want to do that? We don't want to blame him for the life we have because he is God and we are not. And we want to respect that. We want to respect what we have. We want to respect what he has given us. Why does somebody live 20 years and somebody else lives 120? Why is somebody very comfortable in this life and somebody isn't? You know, isn't that a good question? But go back to 1 Thessalonians 5:18 for a moment. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It says there, and we know this memory verse, in everything give thanks. In everything give thanks? Yeah, in everything it gives. There's a reason behind that. There's something behind our thanks. You know, there's something behind it. We want to just speak about it for a little bit here. And everything, give thanks for. This is the will of God. It's the will of God, imagine, in everything to give thanks. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
Wow. Okay. All right, how does that work? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerned. Could you say that when I give thanks, that the Holy Spirit is with me in that when I'm giving thanks? Like, because this is the will of God. And whenever we are in the will of God, the Holy Spirit is with us in the will of God. Would you say that? That if I could be thankful in everything, then this would be the Holy Spirit with us saying, yeah, I want you to have the Holy Spirit bearing witness to you with my peace and my mind and worshiping me and knowing me. I think we should back up a little bit and make a couple points about knowing God and God knowing us. God knows you. This is our great definition for life. Not so much I know God, but God knows me. That's in Galatians chapter 4. That when you knew God, or rather are known of God. Let's look at that for a moment. Galatians chapter 4. Where are we? Verse 9. But now after that you have known God, or rather are known of God. Do you see the difference? He said, when you knew God, no. When God knew you. Rather, when you were known of God, God knew you. That's actually better. For every one of us in this room tonight, we could say that the honor we have in life is that God knows us. That's such an honor that God knows you. Now, what does that mean, knowing it? It has to do with relationship and connection with you, that God knows you. You are known of God. Remember, Adam knew Eve, and it refers to like their sexual connection. That Adam knew Eve, it's like the most connected idea or reality in human relationship. And this is used for God knowing us in the Spirit. That we are joined unto God. God knows us. So God knows you. And this knowing is very personal, and it's spiritual, and God knows you. When we are wrong, when we're kind of upside down or going sideways or going south or very troubled in life, like our blessing is that God calls us friends. That's in John 15:16. That you are a friend of God. Genesis 18, when the Lord was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, he said, should I go do this and not tell my friend Abraham? I have to tell my friend, the one that I know, the one that has walked by faith with me, and I know him, and I have to tell him, my friend, because he's a man, and the earth is subject to men, not angels. And so God doing his work on the earth has a lot to do with God's ministry to men, and that God has great delight in knowing you. Okay, so let's make that clear. This is love. God knows you, and this is really love. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 comes between which chapters? 12 and 14. What are they, those 12? What's 12 about? Gifts of the Spirit. And what's 14 about? Church life, church behavior in the church, the gifts operating in the church. Chapter 14 is about preaching and teaching. It's about the gifts operating. It's how we behave in the church, what our church meetings are like. They are feasts of love. But are they with gifts? Yes, they are gifts, but the gifts operate through love. This is 13. Love is how the church operates. The gifts operate through love. Could there be a church where there are gifts but not love? Apparently. Because I show you a more excellent way is the end of 12. I show you a more excellent way, and that's by love. And so now we have a big, you know, a really awesome subject in that chapter right there in the middle, chapter 13, on love. And I want to just make this short, but provoke you in thinking that Thanksgiving in our holiday in the United States on this day is really very closely connected with us for every day of the year. It's very closely connected to us in our hearts because thanks is connected with love. And that's 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks, for that is the will of God. Because love is able to look at the deaf and at the blind and say, God gave that. Maybe God can change it, but I have to be thankful for what we have. And that's a big thing. I know that. I can't do it. But this love is from the Holy Spirit. This love is from God. This love is able to change our life. This love affects our relationships. This love can affect a Thanksgiving dinner, where we're with relatives and people that maybe we have enormous history and very touchy background and very sensitive issues and very prone to like argument or differences and all of that kind of thing. But we are learning about this subject, not only just regarding tomorrow, but as our way of life. It's being thankful. It's a great subject. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. For who makes you, and verse 6, and these things, brethren, I have it in a figure, transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. Who is the greatest? Apollos, Cephas, Paul, who is the greatest? Like, they're following men, and Paul is saying, no, wait a minute. We got to get a handle on this. We need to really realize something about God's work, that God has put differences between people, and that we should learn not only in the ministry there are differences, but in the natural realm there are differences, like we said. And for verse 7, who makes you to differ from another? And what hast thou that you did not receive? Now, if you did receive it, why do you glory as if you had not received it? Isn't that amazing? verse. I think we got to say it a few times. We are different from each other. And why would anybody like take it to themselves as though they didn't receive it, but they glory in it in a personal way that it's actually from them. Somebody could be very gifted in a certain way, and they feel it's from them. They're a great musician, great mathematician, very maybe good looking, or very athletic, or it's one of these gifts that people have that God gives to people. And then in their discipline, in their training, they really become exceptional in their field. And then they say, I did this. I did this. And the writer here is saying, no, you wouldn't even be able to get up in the morning if God didn't do that for you. You wouldn't be able to say a word if it wasn't God. You couldn't hear a note on the keyboard if it wasn't for God. You couldn't take a footstep if it wasn't for God. You couldn't talk, hear, move, think. You wouldn't function if it wasn't for God. Why do you glory as if you haven't received that? Right? What is the meaning of this? It is in 1 Corinthians 13, let's put up on the board there, 13 verse 4 and 5, and I think that's where we'll finish here, but put up there those verses for me. Charity suffers long, and is kind. It doesn't envy. And then the lunch wrap today, I agree it was a really good lunch wrap. It was on thankfulness versus envy. Thankfulness versus Rachel and Leah. Leah could have children and have boys. And Jacob had Leah. And Leah was not as attractive as Rachel. Wasn't that it? And Rachel couldn't have children. And then Leah was having pumping them out. You know, she just had the boys, you know, one after another. And Rachel envied her. At Genesis 30, verse 1. Let's put it up. Genesis 30 and verse 1. When Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said to Jacob, give me children or else I die. Well, that's an option, like to die. The other way is to be thankful. The other one way is I got to have it, I got to have children or else I will die. Or what else? It's to be thankful. And what should she be thankful for? What do you think? Yeah, everything. Her arms move. Her legs move. Her eyes work. Her heart. The promises given to her family. Her Jacob's grandfather, Abraham. What should she be thankful for? She's alive. Now, I know that this sounds like, I know how you could hear it. Like, yeah, fine, but you don't know I'm suffering. I know. But that's something that we are capable of working in our heart and in our prayers, saying, Lord, this thing is bothering me. It's bothering me in that this woman is getting so much and I'm getting so little, and it bothers me. And the Lord will counsel us with 1 Corinthians 13 love. And he'll say that this love is something you learn it. It's something you develop in your heart. It's something you decide in your life. And it's something that happens in our hearts. And it is the Holy Spirit releasing us. And I'm able to say to my sister, to my in my heart, may she's had four boys, may she have four more. And that I could say in my heart, maybe my role is not to have, but her role is having, and I want to help her. I want to be a support for her. I want to encourage her. I want to be a minister of hers. I have one talent. Somebody has five, somebody has two, somebody has one, and they bury the one because they're afraid of losing it. Their eye is on the wrong thing. Their eye is on the talent, and their eye should be on God. And this is a key verse. I wish it's a separate message, but it's Luke 16, verse 10. It says, if you are faithful in the little thing, faithful in the little thing, in the little thing, if you are faithful in the little thing, then you'll be faithful in much. Let me draw it this way. I don't want to keep you long, but it goes like this. Here's a history in my life. Okay, this is me, and I have one. But I actually have my eyes over here on the ends of the earth, and it is 100. I want 100. I want 100. It's not fair. I need a 100, whatever they are. I want more. I want 100, okay? Lord is saying, that's up to me what I give you. But what I'm asking is that you could be faithful with one. Could you be faithful in one? No, I want 100. And if I don't get 100, I'm out of the game. If I don't get it my way, then I'm done. If I don't get what I have in my mind, that's my mind, and I want this, and that's what I'm going to get. And if not, I'm angry. I'm angry the whole thing. I'm out of here. I'm finished. The Lord goes, well, there you go. That you couldn't even pass the first test. And that was to have very little, but be thankful for with the little that you got. The test that I had for you, I want to give you 100, but I'm not going to give you 100 unless you can be faithful in the little thing. And know me, because it's not about you, Tommy. That's my name. It's not about you. It's about me. And that's what love is. Love is saying, you can believe me. You can be thankful for what you got. You can trust me. I will give the increase. I will do my will, my way, and it's about me. Worship me. Trust me. Walk with me. Learn to be thankful. Learn to process the fact that you don't have what it is that you wanted. But if you could be thankful in everything, that's the will of God in Christ Jesus. To be in everything, be thankful. And I will do my work. I am love. I am God, and I am love. And there are like four things that we have to stop doing. And I'll just make a short list here. We have to stop envying people. Envy. Cain, Abel and Cain, right? Cain envied his brother. Ishmael mocked Isaac. Rachel envied Leah. Hannah envied the woman in that household in 1 Samuel 1. The Jews envied Jesus Christ in Matthew 27. And Pilate knew that they were delivering Christ up because of envy. Envy drives, I stop complimenting people. I'm not going to compliment over here. I'm envious of them. So here are men of God. This is a story in England. It was F.B. Meyer was envious of a man of God. I think his name was Talmage. And he was envious because he had big crowds, and F.B. Meyer didn't have. and he envied him, and he just wouldn't compliment him, and he wouldn't pray for him and his blessing. This is a testimony of F.B. Meyer. And the Lord showed me my envy and my jealousy was dwarfing me, was limiting me. And the Lord taught me I need to pray for my brother. I pray for his blessing. I pray that he'd be greater than ever. I pray that God would pour his gifts on him for Christ's sake. I pray the church shall be blessed because of him or because of them or her or however that goes. But this envy has to stop. It's not of God. It affects our families too. You cannot have envy in a family. They will not compliment each other. They'll not say, hey, listen, I am so thankful for you. My brother, or my sister, or my mother, or my father, my uncle, my grandfather, whoever it might be. It has to be compliment. You have to, like, have it in your heart to love others. Do they deserve it? No. Do they earn it? No. Do you have a ministry from your heart? I'm not asking anybody to be artificial, but I'm asking us to let love reign in our hearts, and out of our hearts will come love. Amen? Okay. Now I forget what the fourth thing is. I know it was, what was it? Somebody help me. There were two today, wasn't there? I'm going to make it three. It cannot puff up is 1 Corinthians 13. Let's look up at the text. Chapter 4 and 5. Suffers long, is kind, envies not, charity vaunteth not, itself is not puffed up. Okay, let's stay there. I have this. Paul uses an unusual phrase, puffed up, to describe this wanted internal perspective that characterizes pride. You know, like, it's hard to be proud and to be thankful at the same time. He used it previously in 1 Corinthians 5:2, where he addressed the immorality that was present in the church. It is not the sin of the individual accused of immorality that was Paul's focus, but it was the fact that the church was proud. Okay, let me finish here. I think we covered that. And then the third one is, I have to stop complaining. And that's in Philippians 2. 13 through 16. It's fashionable sometimes to complain, but be thankful. I don't know if I should say this. let's see. Why not? Why not? Okay. So my son Justin is in the golf industry, and that whole world of golfing and spas and hotels and golf courses and all that, like, it's a service industry. My daughter has a hair salon, and she's into that, also serving people. And some people, they like to be pampered, or they like things upgraded. You go to a hotel, you want to go to a nice hotel. I'm saying, the people that that he works with, and so on, and this whole idea of being pampered and taken care of, and so that kind of thing. And I had a football coach who was very tough in high school, and he was just like a drill sergeant. I mean, he was very tough, and it was you can't cheat in practice. If you cheat in practice, you'll cheat in a game. If you cheat in a game, you'll cheat in life. And that can't happen to you. So I'll beat the tar out of you. Okay, that idea. It's like the opposite of being pampered, you know. And it, with the whole thing about getting taken care of and so on, is this whole thing about complaining. Like the towels are not nice enough, you know. The room isn't clean enough. The sheets are not crisp enough or whatever it might be. Complaining is fashionable for some people. It's part of their life. It's the way they operate. They get a car, it's not good enough. They have something to eat. No. Take it away. Take it away. You know, this whole idea. You see, so I bring it up because there's another way to live. And I'm not saying that's totally wrong, and I'm not saying that's totally right. But I am saying it's like, think about it. You know, before you complain, think about what you have. Think about how much we have. Think about how good it is that we can move, that we can talk, that we can live, that we have something to eat. You know, think about what we have every day of our lives. Think about our country, that we have our freedom. Think about our wealth, that we have something, we have some money in our pocket, we have a passport. We have a telephone or an internet service or whatever it might be. We are amazingly, we are to be people that learn to be with love. And it'll help us and it'll help others around us to live their life and to learn who God is. Because God is love, and he's telling us in this chapter. Let's go to the next, 1 Corinthians 13. And then, it does not behave itself unseemly, seeks not her own, is not easily provoked, thinks no evil. It's an amazing chapter. We'll end there. Thanks so much for your lives. Thank you, Lord, for our fellowship. And I hope something I said tonight can help. And I think it's a long-range goal for all of us, because when you get hurt, we turn inside and we really hurt. We see that in the book of Job. But we're learning love, and that love is going to help us in life. It's going to help our families. It's going to help our church. It's going to help reach the world with God's love. And by the way, some people we know are in jail tonight because of their faith in another country. Thank God it's in another country. And I'm sorry for them. But keep them in prayer. And I'm not going to mention their names, but they get out on Monday, I believe. And just keep them in prayer, because they're only there for that reason, because of God and his love. And our prayer is that that love of God would be in their hearts, and it would touch people, and it would be a ministry, and they would be comforted and helped. Amen. All right. Lord, there's so much to learn about your love and how you think. And we have changed, and we will change. We'll keep changing and be conformed to your image. And one of the things that will happen is we'll just become, just continually be thankful in life. And we are deeply thankful for life, Lord, and people around us. And in trouble, and we'll pray for our people that are in jail tonight because of the gospel. Comfort them. Send angels to comfort. Send people to help them Answer our prayers, fill them with your Holy Spirit, give them an effective ministry, and then others around the world. And this is the month of the persecuted church. And we pray, Lord, and bless our day tomorrow with all our families and friends and Pastor Dan's outreach in the morning in the city, and whatever you have for us in these coming days. Thank you for these holidays. We love it. We rejoice in all of them. And we're just thankful in our hearts, Lord. Thank you in Jesus' name. And then anyone coming to Christ tonight, come to Christ. Come as you are. Come as you are. Right now, come to Christ by faith. Come as you are. Just say yes to Jesus. And he will save you. You will be born again. You are born again by believing. And the Holy Spirit come into your heart and you wake up and realize who God is. And then keep walking. Keep going. Keep walking by faith. And you will know Jesus. In your name, Lord. Amen.